Friends, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 13 and to verses 11 and 13. Isaiah chapter 13, verses 11 and 13. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Verse 13. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place, in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. And friends, our subject this morning is the miseries of the unconverted, or the woes, the burdens of the unconverted, or the unbeliever, anyone who has not been born again, the miseries that follows you. We have in this prophecy from Isaiah, before this prophecy, all prophecies were directed to the people of Judah and Israel, Jerusalem. But this one now was shown to Isaiah against Babylon, the people of Moab, and then Damascus. Because these were the people, the nations that were suppressing or oppressing the people of Israel. So this prophecy comes as a comfort to the oppressed, and then as a warning to the oppressor. Let me give a short background of this prophecy. In fact, Isaiah refers to it as the burden of Babylon, as you can see from the verse 1. And from verse 1 to 5, it is the appointment of the forces that God is going to use against Babylon. And then from 5 to 18, the work they are going to do, the bloody work that they are going to do, to destroy the nations. And then from 19 to 22, it talks about the desolation of Babylon, which the people will see, how he's going to destroy Babylon. I hope most of you know that when we talk of Babylon, in this time, it refers to our world, this world of sin and this world of evil, this world of so many aspirations that people forget about God. It is sad that these kind of warnings and threatenings are not being preached in our churches. So people go to church and they come back home and they are the same because they are not warned. And these are things, whether I come from God himself, the God who cannot lie, what he's going to do to sinners. When we say sinners, we are talking about everybody who has not had his sin forgiven. I hope you all know that we are all born in sin. Not until your sins are forgiven you, not until you sought our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he has done on Calvary, you are a sinner. And your burden, the sin burden, follows you. The wrath of God is against you all your life. John Bunyan talks about this, that the load of sin was behind the sinner. Wherever you go, it is there. And not until it's out of you, God's anger is against you and is following you wherever you go. Here we have what Isaiah saw. According to the story, it's like a vision that was shown to him. And Babylon here in verse 2, from verse 3, he said, I've commanded my sanctified ones. When he says sanctified, we're not talking about people who have been saved or holy people. People that God has chosen for that work. When God chooses you for a particular work, you are sanctified. You are set apart for him. So he said, I've commanded my sanctified ones. I've also called my mighty ones for my anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. So there are people that God has appointed. And these people, we are going to learn who they were that God was going to use to destroy the people of Babylon. And it also refers to our days, how God is also going to destroy us. Now, we can see that the place of doom for destruction is Babylon. And here, it is called the gates of the nobles. It is called the gates of the nobles because of the noble houses that were in that place. Money, wealth that they were displaying at that time. And God warned them that he was going to destroy them. Christ said no stone will be left unturned. So everything that they had were going to be destroyed. Even though they had the gates of noble means very strong gates, and yet to God they are nothing. When the time comes, the gates will be just like hearts, and God will destroy them. He was going to use a king called Cyrus. I'm sure most of you know that Cyrus is a type of Jesus Christ in our days. And he said he was his anointed. We won't turn there, but it's in Isaiah 45 verse 1. You can put it down, those who are writing, and later on you can refer to it. And he who was a type of Christ to come, he is the one that God was going to use to destroy the people of Babylon. And they are called the mighty ones because they had them their might from God. In fact, in chapter 45 verse 1, God said God held his right hand. So the battle that he was going to fight with the people of Babylon was a battle for God. God held his right hand for the battle. And in Isaiah 13 verse 3, he said, they rejoiced in his hand. The people who God was going to use rejoiced in the work that they were going to do. Now he said they were numerous in verse 4. He said, a multitude, a great people, kingdoms of nations, they are the ones God was going to use. And in verse 5, he said, they come from far country, from end of heaven. And talking about the people of Assyria, Babylon, and Persia. These were the people that he was going to use to destroy them. Then from verse 6 to 18, we see the description of the confusion that will come to the people of Babylon. Now, I'm sure you may be thinking, why are we talking about Babylon in our days? Why are we talking about something that Isaiah said long time ago in our days? Like I said earlier on, the Bible has been referring to our days as Babylon. And we all know that the book of Isaiah talks mainly about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the new order, the New Testament. For instance, in chapter 40, verse 3 to 5, he talks about the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In chapter 52, 13 to 53, verse 12, from 61, verse 1, he talks about his sacrifice, how he will come to die for us. Then from 52, verse 13 to 53, verse 12, he talks about his return to this world. And because of all these things, we can say that the book of Isaiah talks about our days. We know Babylon, right from the beginning, they were the people who tried to build a story to reach where God was. So we know that the name stands for the world and its wickedness and all that goes on in the world now. There are some three other things that also prove that this prophecy is for our days. Especially in the 13 verse 6, when we refer to it as the day of the Lord. We all know that the day of the Lord refers to the first and second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then the final day when he will come and take over as king. And then in chapter 13 verse 10, he describes how there will be some alterations in nature, in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, which we know that these things have not happened after today. So we know that it's something that is yet to come. And then in chapter 13 verse 19, he also compared the Babylon to Sodom and Gomorrah, how the whole of Sodom and Gomorrah were burned to ashes, which we know that this thing too has not also happened. Then it is also mentioned in Revelation chapter 6 verse 12 to 14, and then from 8 to 12. And in Revelation, John warned that people should come out of Babylon, because anybody who will be part of Babylon will be destroyed, just as the warnings of God goes. Now let's come back to our chapter, our verse. It says, "And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible." Then verse 13, it says, "Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place, in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger." So like I said, if you are not converted, if your sins have not been forgiven you, and I'm talking about coming to understand that you are a sinner and there's nothing you can do about your sin, and you are trusting in Christ alone for your sins to be forgiven you. If you are living and you haven't done that, you can go to church for how many days, how many times in a day, and your sins will still be at your back. And this prophecy refers to you. You will be punished with Babylon, with this world, and the systems and all what is going on the day of the Lord. And God's anger is always under you. Now, people, unbelievers, think that the Christian life rather is a life of misery. People think, no, I won't become a Christian because I will be miserable. They will be miserable because maybe they can't take their alcohol, they can't go to dances, they can't get themselves involved in all kinds of sins. And they think that is what happiness is. But from what we are going to learn, we are going to learn that the Christian, rather, the believer is the happiest person. And the unbeliever, there are miseries that follows the unbeliever. So whilst you are unconverted, whilst you have not have your sins forgiven you, the first thing is that the infinite God is against you. Like I said, God's anger is against you. It's always following you. And what is so miserable to have the Creator being against you? It is not a small matter for God to be against you. Let's turn to Judges chapter 18, verse 24. Judges chapter 18 and verse 24. Let's begin from 23. "And they cried unto the children of Dan, and they turned their faces, and said unto Micah, What aileth thee, that thou comest with such a company?" Then verse 24. "And he said, Ye have taken away my gods, which I made, and the priests, and ye are gone away, and what have I more? And what is this that ye say unto me, What aileth thee?" This is a story when the Danites, the people of Israel, went to spy in the place that they wanted to go and fight for. And then they saw this god, a smaller, you see that it's a smaller god, and the priest, which is the priest of the god, and they took it away. If such a person was crying because they've taken his god away, how about you? That the Creator of heaven and earth, the one who has the power to destroy you, says that he is against you. So it is a terrible thing to have God to be against you, and it will be terrible in the day of death. Where will you flee to? Who will you go to if God is against you? The day when all your houses and all your friends will say bye-bye to you forever and ever, and then you meet God, where will you go? It will be a terrible thing. Christ said, "On that day, I will say, I know you not. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." So God will be against you. He will leave you. And it's not only him being against you, as we are going to learn more. If he's only going to be against you to say that, okay, I will leave you to face Satan, that will even be not as miserable as he himself coming to destroy you. So it's a very serious thing for God to be against you. Now, like I said, it is not only that you are without God, but he's against you. And if God is against you, then what is your position? Because we said that if God is with you, who can be against you? And then on the other side, if God is against you, who can be for you? In Hebrews chapter 30, 10 verse 31, he said it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Like I said earlier on, people are preaching and talking only about the mercies of God and the love of God. Yes, we know God is a merciful God. He's full of mercy. But he's a just God too. And he's terrible. Because he is God, he can never let sin pass without punishing sin. Because he has said that he will punish sinners. So even though he's merciful, he's also a just God. That is why, because of his mercy, he has sent Jesus Christ to come and to save us from our situation. So if after the death of Christ you are not believing in what God has done, then his anger will now be against you. So we know that he's a merciful God. At the same time, he's also a terrible God. Say, God himself will be your tormentor. He will destroy you. From 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 to 9, said, if one man sin against another, we have a judge to judge the person. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Then in Psalm 76, verse 7, he said, thou, even thou art to be feared, and who shall stand in thy sight when thou art angry? When God is angry, who can stand before God? Remember what he did to the people of Egypt when they were following the Israelites. How they stepped in the Red Sea and the sea just covered them. And what he did to the people of Egypt before they allowed the Israelites to go. So you can see that when God is angry, it's a very terrible thing. Nothing can save you. Money cannot save you. Kings cannot save you. Prayer warriors cannot save you. Nothing can save you. Your money, your riches, nothing can save you. In Proverbs chapter 11 verse 4, he said, riches profit not in the day of wrath. And Revelation chapter 6 verse 25, he says, verse 15 to 16, said they shall cry to the mountains and rocks to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne. That is God. And from the wrath of the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So for God to be against you is a very serious thing. You have nowhere to go unless you repent and give your life to Jesus Christ. So that when that day comes, God sees you as Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you have no hope. And you will perish with all the people of Babylon. In Ezekiel chapter 5 verse 8, he said, therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I am against thee. Now, when we say God is against you, number two, his face is against you. God's face is against you. Psalm 34 verse 16. He said, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them. So God's face is against you if you are not converted. Like I said earlier on, when his face was against the people of Egypt, he saw what he did to them. His heart is also against you. God's heart is against you because he hates all workers of iniquity. So you must tremble to hear these things. That God, you are an object of God's anger and God's hatred. It is a terrible thing. In Jeremiah chapter 15 verse 1, God says, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward these people. Cast them out of my sight. So God hates evil. So not until you are cleansed from your sins, you have no hope. And the day of anger is what you are waiting for. Also, all his attributes are against you. You know God's attributes. They are all against you. His justice is against you. Because his justice is described as a flaming sword which has been released against you. According to Deuteronomy chapter 32 from verse 41 to 42. He said, if I wet my glittering sword and my hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to my adversaries. And I will reward them that hate me. Like I said, this warning is comfort for those who are believers and a terror for the unbelievers. Because like he said, I will render vengeance to my adversaries. If you are not a believer, you are an adversary, you are an enemy of God. And I will reward men that hate me. I will make my arrows drunk with blood. This is what the law says. So he will hold you guilty for your sins. Sometimes some people, when we tell them that they are sinners, they don't believe that they are sinners. People will say, you mean I haven't stolen anything, I haven't taken anybody's wife, I haven't drank any alcohol. But you were born in sin. Have you observed that you were born in sin? Your nature is full of sin. So even if you haven't done anything, you were born in sin. And because God is holy, he can never deal with sin. So you can never go to where God is until your sins have been forgiven you. And yet, Satan keeps persuading people that the God is full of mercy. Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you the God of mercy will not do that. He will not destroy the world. Meanwhile, he has destroyed the world two times. Noah's time, Sodom and Gomorrah. It is the same God who did it. So why are you not believing the third one that he says he will do? So it is a very serious thing. Unless you give your life to Jesus Christ, he is the only one who can take you out of that situation. That is what he has done for us. By him coming to die on the cross, he has come to deliver us from this bondage, the bondage of sin, which Satan is holding us. This is what we call deliverance. Don't believe in what people are saying, that they are delivering people. Wherever you go now, deliverance, deliverance, deliverance. What deliverance again? You are delivered from the power of sin once you come to believe in Jesus Christ. And once you come to believe in him, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. So where are you being delivered from and to where? You are delivered already. And Christ says, if you come to believe in him, they will come and make their abode in you. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are all living in you. So you have been delivered. You need to believe, and he comes to dwell in you. There's nothing like being delivered from any power of sin or Satan by any pastor or any prophet. No, the Lord has done it for us, all of us. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that those who believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So if you don't believe in God and believe in Christ, you have your sins forgiven you, his anger is against you. Because the justice of God, like I said earlier on, demands that we should follow the law completely. That is what the justice of God calls for. And who in this world can follow the whole law? Nobody, except Christ. That is why you need to give your life to him, for him to give you his righteousness. Another attribute that is against you is his holiness. God's holiness is against you. He is not only angry with you, but his holy nature, like I said, is contrary to sin. Because he's holy, he can't bear with sin. So anybody who is out of Christ, who hasn't got Christ in him, you can never go near God. And his anger is still against you. You know, God cannot lay aside his nature because of mankind. He is God, and he continues to be God, a holy God. It is you who needs to have your sins forgiven you, and then you can come to God. In 1 Samuel chapter 6 verse 20, it says, who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? Nobody can stand unless you come in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Another attribute that is against you is his power. His power is also against you. God in his power will destroy all those who do not obey the gospel. Romans chapter 9 verse 17. For the scripture says, he said unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. So God will show his power. His power is against you, and on that day you will see his power at work. So in verse 32, he said, what if God, willing to make his power known, endure with much suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction? When he said the vessels of wrath, he's talking about sinners. You are vessels of wrath. His anger is against you if you don't repent. Then in Job chapter 26 verse 14, he says, the thunder of his power, who can understand? So, brethren, when God's power is against you, when his attributes are against you, it's a terrible thing. Now his wisdom is also against you. In Psalms 7 verse 11 to 13, he says his counsels are against you. Jeremiah 18 verse 11, the proof of God is sworn against you. And do you know that we are created to glorify God? Our main reason for our creation is to live and praise God and glorify Him. And if you are a sinner, how can you praise God? Last 2 weeks we learned from Pastor that it is only the converted people, those who are in Christ, that can praise God. If you are an unbeliever, what are you praising God for? What has God done for you? Is it only because He has created you? He created everything. But you need to be saved so that you know what God has done for you and you can praise Him. So if you are not saved, it means you are denying God His glory of praising Him. And we know that God is true, and whatever He has said, He is faithful. Even if we don't believe, He is faithful. He will keep to His word. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 13 says, if we believe not, yet He is faithful. He will carry on with what He has sworn that He will do. He will destroy you. So if you are here this morning and you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, please, you are living in sin and you are living under the wrath of God, which is to be revealed. The whole Bible talks about how God is against you when you are unconverted. In Matthew chapter 5 verse 18, it says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one jot of little of this shall pass away. This refers to all what has been said in the Bible, especially those that are against us, that they will come to pass. Now, another thing that is against you is the whole creation is against you if you are unconverted. In Romans chapter 8 verse 22, Apostle Paul talked about the whole creation groaning and prevailing in pain because of the abuse of ungodly people. Because we are unconverted, the whole creation is groaning in pain because of the abuse as a result of our corruption. Because we abuse nature, because nature is not being used, because of ungodly people, nature is being abused, contrary to what God has created them for. Because now, there are certain things that men are doing that you can't even talk about it. The degradation, what sin has degraded man to. Now men are sleeping with men. Women are sleeping with women. Men are sleeping with animals. It's a terrible thing what sin has done. So nature is also groaning because of our corruption. We have put a burden on nature. You can even talk about our country here, the Galamsey, what people have done to the rivers, to the fishes in the river. All this as a result of our corruption and our greed for money. This is all what we have done against nature. And nature is against us and is crying for a day that God will liberate nature from the sufferings, and that will be the day that God comes, the terrible day that we are talking about. And now the most fearful one is, if you are not saved, Satan has his full power over you. The other time I was talking to a friend, and I said, well, as for me, I don't believe in witchcraft, I don't really believe in anything. So I said, are you saved? Are you converted? And he asked me, what is conversion? So you don't even know conversion, and you are saying that you don't believe in evil. So are you saying that you don't believe in Satan? Satan is there, and therefore he has his demons. He has his witches. He has people who do his bidding. But the only way you can be saved from the power of Satan is to be saved and come out of Satan and be under Christ. If you haven't done that, and you are living in this world, and you are saying that you don't fear witches and so on, you are joking. You are under the power of Satan. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2, he is described as the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. So if you haven't given your life to Christ, you are a child of disobedience, and therefore Satan rules over you. His power is over you. In verse 22 of the same Ephesians 2, he said he is called the ruler of the darkness of this world. That means he rules in the hearts of sinners who live in darkness. It means if you are not living under Christ, Satan is ruling in your heart. Mind you, this world And this evening we'll learn more about it. The world, the systems, and the culture and the traditions, they are all under Satan. Our government system, our education system, the media, they are all under Satan. And they are all against you. They are all fighting against you. That is why he says he's the ruler of the darkness of this world. If it wasn't for him, how could he offer it to Christ? He told Christ that if you bow down and worship me, I will give you the whole world. Which means he has control over it. It is him who is behind all bad things and wicked things that we have in this world. All the false teachings that are going on there. People who are calling themselves prophets and taking people's money and deceiving people. Satan is behind all of them. He's behind all false teachings and false ideas about this life. How the youth, now everybody is aspiring to be rich. So you see the young people now in betting places, in video centers. Everybody wants to be rich. It is all from Satan. He has put those things in their minds. And if you are not under Christ, he will get you. All the negative practices that we practice in this world, Satan is the one behind. All he wants to do is for you to sin against God. Then you can come under him and he will destroy you. He has nothing good to offer. If something, Satan gives you something, the next thing will be terrible. He has nothing. All he has is evil. All the things that God hates, that God says, if you do them, you will enter into my kingdom. The devil makes you do them. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, and see what is there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. He said, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And listen to what Apostle Paul said, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in Tampa, that they who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So if any of these things, you are practicing any of these things, you will never inherit the kingdom of God. And you will be under the rule of Satan. If you are practicing. And now these days, we are living in times that all these things have become normal. Fornication is normal now, isn't it? You see young people on the streets everywhere having boyfriends and girlfriends. It's like become not normal. Now men with wives have girlfriends. People are married, they have girlfriends. People see them as normal. Yet these are the things that God is warning us about. And people don't talk about these things. But they are in the Bible. It is not me. It's the Bible saying that if you practice these things, you will never inherit the kingdom of God. And the most serious thing is that you are under the power of Satan. Once you are doing these things, Satan can rule in your life and can destroy you. He is the one who is behind all the pleasures of this world. And the idea is to trap you into hell. Now, if you turn to your television or your radio, the media, all the things that are there are things that should attract you. That, especially when you talk about these so-called stars and celebrities, as if they are godly people, as if they are the people that should be your mentors. All these things is to drag you to hell. And you will never know. So it is a serious thing, you know, to fall under the power of Satan. Now, when you talk about hell, people don't even want to talk about hell, as if it is not true. There are so many ways that some people describe when they talk about hell. First is rationalism, number one. When people say there's no God and there can be no hell. We know of the famous Charles Darwin, who said, it's a damnable doctrine. That is what he said. That the doctrine of hell, to talk about hell, is a damnable theory. But it is true, because the Bible talks about it. If we have time, we'll go through all what the Bible talks about hell. The commonest one is Lazarus and the rich man. when Lazarus woke up in hell, he saw things himself where he was, and he was able to remember all what he was doing while he was living on the earth. So hell is true, that if you don't give your life to Christ, that is where you are going to end. Some people too ridicule the idea of hell. They mock at it. Some say that there may be a God, but it is silly to speculate about millions of disembodied spirits frying in a lake of fire somewhere. You see, they are making a mockery of it, that you can't think of millions of people who will end up in hellfire. So they just want to say that it's a mockery. It can never be true. He said the idea, he said this is the 21st century. So they are saying that all these things are archaic. We are in the 21st century, so we shouldn't believe in all these things. He said the idea of hell was born out of revenge or vengeance. But let God be true. God says he will punish ungodly people in hell. And it is true. Whatever God has said will come to pass. Then another one is religion. He said there is a God, but it's a God of love, as I said earlier on. And therefore, he will not and could not send anyone to hell. You see, they always talk about the mercy and the love of God without injustice as well. These are the cults and those, the liberals. They are saying that even the Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't believe in the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to destroy this world and save only the believers. They don't believe. So that is why some time ago they announced the end of the world, and some people were pointing to some houses that when that time comes, they will choose them. So they don't believe what Christ said, that no stone will be left unturned. They have eyes on some houses that when that day comes, they will pick. So you see, they don't believe in that. But brethren, hell is a reality. If the teachings of the Bible should be just a myth, then we Christians should be the most miserable, as the world is saying now. But it is not so. It is true that the world will be destroyed. The world and all what we are seeing now will be destroyed, and only those in Christ shall be saved. Now let me just point you to a few passages that confirm that hell is a place of punishment. The first one is Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. We won't read it, but you can put it down because of our time. And later on you can read it. That hell is a place of punishment. Matthew 25, verse 41. Hell is a place of unquenchable fire. Mark chapter 9, verse 43. And then Luke chapter 16, verse 24. The third one, hell is a place of unquenched thirst. The same, Luke 24 and 25. And then hell is a place of misery and pain. Luke 16, 24, 25. And then Luke 28, Revelation 14, verse 10 to 11. All these things prove that hell is a reality. It's a place that God has ordained that people who will not believe in him will end their lives. In Habakkuk chapter 3 in the Old Testament, verse 2, we hear of the prophet. He is a prophet. He cried to the Lord. He said to remember him during the time of his wrath. You see, he believed that there will be a time of God's wrath, and he prayed that God should remember him in that time. And also, we have, like I said, in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, the time of Noah, when God destroyed the whole world with flood. And he has said that our world is also stored for fire. And from what he has said, he is coming to destroy everything, including the people who are living in. All people who are not in Christ are going to be destroyed. So, brethren, What do you make of all these threatenings and the warnings as they come from God? Don't believe in what people are saying outside there. This is the reality. God will come to destroy this world, including all people who have not been saved. And remember, he has sent his own son to come and die a terrible death, go through sufferings and persecutions, and then finally to die on the cross just for you to be saved. So if you don't believe and you are living your life going up and down and coming, one day it will be terrible for you. And remember, he has said that he will come as a thief in the night. Remember also that when you die, that will be the end. You can die in whatever age. It is sad that people are going around in this world not even thinking about where they will spend eternity. Yesterday I was speaking to a young man. So I said, Mr. Boateng, what are you doing towards the end of this world? Where do you think you go, heaven or hell? He said, Dami, I don't know. So you don't know and you are just going up and down. Are you making any effort to know? He said, no, me, I don't know. When that day comes, then I will leave it with God. How can you chance this? Live your life with luck that when you go, depending on what God says. When he has shown you everything in the scriptures, that he has sent his son to come, all you need to do is to believe in him and be saved from the wrath of the years to come. You are just walking up and down, thinking that when you get there, it depends on what God will tell you. Please, if you are here this morning, my prayer is that God should touch your heart, that you come to believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins, trust in him, confess your sins to him, and he will forgive you. And on that day of wrath, you will find favor with God. Otherwise, it will be a terrible thing for you. Let's pray. Oh God, our gracious and merciful Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Father, we thank you for the warnings and the threatenings and yet the comfort that if we turn from our sins and look up unto you, Father, you are a pardoning God. You will forgive us and pardon us and give us new lives in Christ. That when the day of your wrath comes, Father, we will find favor in thee. Father, bless your word to everyone that hears us and save their souls from your coming wrath. We thank you, Father, for hearing us. For we pray in the name and on the merit of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.